Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Thrones here. Matt Datz, Tim Curry. Episode 3, unofficially titled The Battle of Winterfell. Preview pod coming at you right now. First of all, Curry, welcome back.
Datz, I'm so excited to be here talking about this episode because it's going to be one of the best of all time.
It is going to be one of the best of all time for sure. 82 minutes of cinematic excellence for sure. We are very much looking forward to it. Thank you to everyone who listened to our instant reaction podcast. Got us in the top 20 on the iTunes charts. We really appreciate everyone listening. Subscribe, rate, review. We love it. Follow us on Twitter at RightAfterGOT. So enough with the shameless plugs here. Curry, we have on tap the longest episode in Game of Thrones history. What's up for? Should be the best ever, probably. We'll see what happens Sunday night, but looking forward to previewing it with you, I should say. Start us off, Curry. Where should we go?
So I think the first thing we should do is just hop into what they've shown us so far.
Exactly.
So they've and what they've shown us isn't much. So we got 6 photos from the
midweek
promotional photo release.
Yep.
Which usually they give us anywhere from, I would say 6 is this floor.
Yes.
To as many as like 15 before.
But, yeah, right.
So only getting 6 is...
Six on an 82-minuter, too. Yeah. That's the thing. So it's not...
So like, they're playing it close to the vest here.
Which I respect.
I respect it. And then we also have a trailer, which we're going to break down shot by shot. And even the trailer doesn't give us much to go off
of. It gives us a little bit, though.
But yeah, what there is, the big takeaways, we will... cover that
for sure
and let you guys know.
Awesome. So you want to start with the preview, right?
So yeah, let's start with the trailer.
We don't, and it's not officially named the Battle of Winterfell, correct?
Yeah, I mean it might be, but they haven't officially.
This battle is called the Battle.
Title? Yeah, they haven't officially titled the episode, but
it could be Night King kills Jon Snow.
It could be
the official title.
We don't know. Be like a Friends title, the one where the Night King wins,
the one where the Night King kills everyone. But no. No, we're all hopping off that for sure. But all right, let's go to the preview. We saw it all last week, Sunday, after what was a heartwarming episode, had us salivating for next week. So here it was, the preview, Curry. Let's dive right into it.
All right, so the first thing to note about this trailer, this preview they show us, is that the pace of the shots is very rapid.
Very quick. That's why the screenshots help.
Yeah, so they throw a lot at you in a little bit of time. But the screenshots help so we can fully appreciate what they're showing us. So the first shot, it opens up, and a lot of it is just the preparations for the battle, not the actual battle itself.
Alignment.
So we have just rows and rows of Unsullied.
Rowed up.
It looks like a catapult is in there, and then it's really dark, but if you lighten it up a little bit, you'll see the dragons are flying over the top left of that
shot. The dragons are wheeling. We love it.
It cuts away another angle of the Unsullied. More catapults, more trebuchets.
Unsullied going to be in the vanguard?
The Unsullied are the vanguard. They're the ones who are kind of disposable, and also they're the most trained warriors. Like this is what they were born and bred to do.
This is why, you know, things happen down low.
We get a shot of Grey Worm. He's got like this menacing grimace on his face.
He looks like he's just seen death, which he has.
Yeah, and he puts on his helmet. He's ready to go. And then, as we see this, we get a voiceover from Sansa, and she says, "The most heroic thing we can do now is look the truth in the face." So, I'm not sure what exactly she's referring to with that.
Maybe we're all going to die at some point. This is you know,
like if that quote was by Daenerys, I would think it would have to do with Jon and Daenerys.
Yes, obviously.
But since it's from Sansa, I don't think she's...
And she's not exactly, you know, battling out there face-to-face.
Yeah, so, I mean, she is more of a political leader than a...
Sansa's in the crypts, right?
Yeah, so...
She thinks... Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Not much to...
Those crypts, they're going to be huge.
Yeah, we'll talk about the crypts.
So, the next
shot...
Safest
place in the world.
The next shot, and this one is where they gave us something to think about here, something to chew on for this week.
This is big.
Is a shot of Daenerys and Jon... And they are looking over Winterfell, but they're not in Winterfell. They're far.
They went on another date.
They're far away from Winterfell. So they're watching the defense from an elevated position, and
I think this is pre-battle, man.
But it's definitely pre-battle. I assume it's pre-battle.
Or it's post-battle. They just lost.
Right, but if the battle's about to begin, shouldn't they be somewhere in there the as leaders? Like, even Joffrey, when he was king during Blackwater,
right.
he was out there as a symbol for his army, for his soldiers.
Until Cersei called him back, yes.
Yeah. So it's odd to see them this far. I hope that they return for the battle, but at the same time,
they'll be there. Yeah.
They're going to survive this episode. I'm predicting it. I'm pretty certain on that they're going to survive. So they could pull a Theon and survive kind of a coward's way. It would be out of character, but they're surviving, and we'll see how.
They're there week four, no doubt about in our minds. But continue on with the
show. Next couple shots, the editing picks up the pace even more. It's a quick shot. We see Sam Tarly. He's in the mix.
Is he in the mix or is he? Yeah, he's out of the crypts.
He's not in the crypts in this shot, but we know that that's where he was ordered to go. Does he stay there?
I don't know.
Yeah, he might be playing some hero ball. Sam the Slayer.
Does he kill the Night King? I don't know. We'll discuss.
No, he doesn't. But Night King wins. We said this.
Oh, stop.
Then we get some shots at the battle mounts of Winterfell. There's Sansa and Arya are standing next to each other. It's the first scene they've had together since the end of last season. Just standing there observing the armies of Winterfell.
Where Tyrion was at the end of last episode.
Yes.
Those little, not spikes, but you know,
we get
top
a shot
of
Ser Davos, a similar shot. He's walking along the battlements. And here, at first glance, he reminds me a lot of Stannis in this shot.
Yes, very much so.
Just kind of leading the troops, but
looking a little angry.
Yeah, looking angry, looking dark, looking glum.
Stannis-y for sure.
Very Stannis-esque. Then we get a shot, which we also saw in the season preview, the season trailer, of we have Varys and Gilly and Little Sam and a bunch of women in the crypts. And there's women and children. Varys is looking nervous. And we see in the back there's the tombs, there's some statues.
Oh, brother.
So, yeah. We'll see.
Crypts are the safest place.
See how safe these crypts are.
We'll get to it.
Got a quick shot of Tyrion kind of turning over his shoulder. Not much to take away from that other than Tyrion is involved in this episode.
Yeah, he is there. Jorah Mormont.
From there, shot of Jorah. Jorah's ready. He looks like he's out in the Vanguard. He's out ready to battle.
Love the Vanguard.
Then
this is big.
It fades to black and John says, the Night King is coming. And then it fades back up to John, and he's got a scared look on his face. There's a lot of snow, like a blizzard kind of around him. And we know that the Night King, the White Walkers, they bring the storm.
They bring the storm. And they're going to show it as the Night King for sure.
So, yeah, that's an ominous shot of John.
Yes, there's some speculation that could be where Bran's at and where Bran and the boys were stationed. You know, we'll see. But I don't know if it's in that screenshot specifically, but I feel like there.
I think there was one. I don't know if it was this one or if there's another one where
I saw a
trail where he's in the Godswood.
It's the Godswood. There's a tree in the background. So I think it's safe to say John's in the Godswood at some point this episode.
Yeah, because we know that the Night King is the key to all this.
Oh, my Christmas.
And he's apparently is going to be coming for Bran.
Yeah, so the worst tactical move
That's where John has to be.
Got it. Let's finish this up.
So we have a couple more shots here. There's very rapid shots. One of the Castle of Winterfell with everyone outside again.
Yep.
Really stressing the magnitude of this battle, how many men are in the army, how well prepared they are, and how many people are going to die. Then we get a shot. This is a big one that we saw in the preview as well, in the season preview, of Arya running through the halls of the castle. So she's got a big gash on her head. What could she be running from? Is it the dead coming in, or is it the dead that we're already in, getting out?
We'll see. I know there's a lot of speculation, including from myself, that could have been Arya in King's Landing later in the season, wearing Jaime's face. Things went haywire, yada, yada, yada. No, looks like we're seeing it next week, and it's the Crypts of Winterfell. It's nowhere else.
So yeah, some questions will be answered regarding that, for sure.
Got it.
We get a shot of the Unsullied, just advancing in battle. Nothing major there. We get a shot of Beric and the Hound. And they're inside the halls of Winterfell, but they look like they're on edge, ready for battle.
We got a flaming
again,
sword.
Yeah, again, is it the dead coming in? Is it the dead going out?
From within.
Yeah.
So that's it. And then we got a little more. A
couple more. We have a dragon shot. And if you brighten it up, if you zoom in a little bit, it is actually Daenerys riding the dragon. So it's Drogon. It's not Jon on Rhaegal or the Night King on Viserion. It's Dany on Drogon.
So Dany. The heir to the Iron Throne. I mean, does she have to be on the dragons?
I think she has to be. No one else can, right?
I mean, I know, but do they need
you can,
them?
Yeah, you can let them kind of freelance, but we saw what happened last time she did that.
I know, right? So. Christ. True. So she's going to be out there in the mixer. Total respect for that, for sure. Mounting up and getting after it. We could see some dragon-on-dragon warfare, but we'll see.
So we get another Unsullied shot. They're going to be a big part of the battle. We get a shot of Theon with a flaming arrow.
In the Godswood.
And that's kind of a callback to, I believe it's season 2, where Theon saves Bran, where Bran's being held hostage, and Theon shoots the wildling that's threatening Bran. And at the time, Rob was pissed. He's like, you know, what if you missed? And, you know.
Theon, he missed.
So, yes, Theon, again, will be defending Bran with flaming arrows.
Him and the Ironborn, yeah.
Then, okay, so here's the shot of Jon fighting in the Godswood. We can see the trees in the background, and he's got Longclaw
drawn.
He's looking, you know, he's looking like the battle is not going well.
Yeah, he's sweating. He's sweating for sure. And then we get some more dialogue.
Fade to black, and then it opens up on another shot of Jon Daenerys. And the quote here, and Daenerys says it, she says, "The dead are already here."
In serious tone.
So the question there, is she referring to, you know, the Night King just got there, like he's there and they're prepared, or is it that the dead are already here because there's dead in Winterfell that are being risen up? I mean, that would be a lot for Daenerys to be announcing.
For sure. Or is it like, hey, we can't be talking about this lineage thing, the dead are already
right? Yeah. And then the last two shots here, we have a shot of the Night King's army kind of advancing in the darkness. It's not, you can't see too much there, but you know they're there. And lastly, we have Brienne of Tarth leading her left flank. And we have Jaime Lannister is next to her. And he looks absolutely terrified.
He looks shook.
We know he's not as good a fighter as he once was. He said it last week. And Brienne says, "Stand your ground." And that's all we get.
Yes. And we know even in the Dragon Pit scene, post-Dragon Pit, he was shook about the, like, he was standing at search, like, did you see what they just brought us? Like, that is, there was a dead, like, you know what I'm saying? So he's not exactly, you know, all cool with, you know, fighting the dead and what the dead brings to the table, which I understand for sure. So, all right, there's our trailer. Let's rip through these screenshots real quick.
So some of the screenshots were also in the trailer, like one of Jon with the blizzard around him, the one of Brienne and Jaime preparing for battle, and the one of Jon and Daenerys looking over Winterfell from afar. So the only new shots that we have to break down here, there's one of Varys and Tyrion. They seem to be in the crypts where it's safe, just talking, but definitely looking concerned because why wouldn't you be? Then there's two shots of Sansa, one of Sansa and Arya. Sansa looks terrified looking at Arya. I saw someone on Twitter jokingly said that this is Sansa finding out about Arya and Gendry.
Yes, for sure. Happening.
And then the last one here is Sansa again. It looks like, you know, I'm not sure if she's in the crypts here or if she's
sitting,
outside, like on the battle mounts. But we have a shot of Sansa giving kind of a side eye, looking concerned, looking like she's worried about what's going on, as she should be. So that's all we got from our six promo photos from our trailer.
HBO gave us that.
And, you know, all they let us know, the big takeaway from this, is that they're prepared for battle. There's a ton of Unsullied. There's a ton of defense mechanisms here. And it's going to be a battle.
Something goes down in the Godswood, and there's a point where Jon and Daenerys aren't in Winterfell next episode. Other than that, you know, they're not giving us too much, but there's a lot to speculate on.
There's a lot of speculation out there.
Let's hit the two big ones first.
So there's two enormous theories that are on the internet that have been going on since one of them, since before the season, that was kind of fed by the promos, the previews, the teasers. So we'll talk about that one first.
Go ahead.
That is that the dead in the crypts of Winterfell will be raised to life by the Night King as part of his army of the undead, his army of whites.
And you had an evolution on this theory.
So, originally, you know, preseason and even the past episodes, I've been out on this theory because, you know, it just sounds kind of
corny.
Kind of corny, kind of lame. Like, really? Like, that's their big twist, is that the dead. And even then, I was like, all right, how many dead? Like, who are these dead? Because most of the Starks that we know aren't even in there.
Yeah.
We know Ned's head is there, maybe. Like, or is Ned's body there? Ned's not all there. We know that.
Yeah.
The Red Wedding, none of them are there.
No.
Because
the Freys smoked them.
Yeah, the Freys killed them, and the Boltons killed them, and the Boltons took over Winterfell. So anyone that died between the Red Wedding and the Battle of the Bastards is not there.
Yes.
The only one who I can think of that is definitely there that we've seen this season is Rickon Stark. Rickon will be there because he died during the Battle of the Bastards, and if they did recover his body and all that, which, I mean, they could have, Jon would have had him buried in the crypts.
Yes.
So we could see Rickon Stark. Other than that, from the actual crypts themselves, we know Lyanna Stark is there.
Oh, my God.
And then a lot of Stark relatives from the past.
Yes.
But again, no one else we've seen.
And, I mean, just to play like devil's advocate, like, is he bringing up, like, a 200-year-old body? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that still, like, kind of put together? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to decipher exactly what the Night King's powers are, to what extent he can reanimate corpses and have
I know, right? That's what I'm saying.
But
that being said, you're in on it.
That being said, yeah. So I was out originally, but now I'm in on it. Just because the biggest thing is how much they've been hinting at it and foreshadowing it and teasing it. Back to the preseason, the very first trailer we saw back in, like, let's say, like, January.
It's a True Detective.
Yeah, yeah. It was of Jon and Sansa and Arya in the crypts.
Yes.
And there was kind of, like, a frost that traveled across the ground of the crypts.
Yes.
And then it opened up on the three of them seeing their own tombs, their own statues in the crypts. So that, to me, says that the crypts are important. There's a reason. There's a reason for the crypts being so heavily emphasized in the trailer, other than just that, oh, that's where the Starks are eventually going to be buried.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's where the Starks have been buried for years, and that's where they're going to come up. So, yeah, no, I'm all in on this again. And also,
it's incredible.
Like, it is still a twist. Like, even if people have seen it coming now, it is still a twist, especially for the people on the show, because they don't see it coming at all.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's been mentioned maybe at least once, if not more, like, the crypts are the safest place to be.
It might have been like five times last episode.
It was lathered
where they talked about the crypts, and, you know, there was Davos and the little girl with the scar on her face.
Get down,
and
man.
He said, you know, oh, you should go in the crypts. Gilly was like, oh, I'll be in the crypts. Like, I'd feel safer if you were there with me. We had Jon send Sam into the crypts. We had Daenerys send Tyrion into the crypts. All based on the fact that that's the safest place to be. Well,
yes.
That's not exactly the case.
Another one I'll add on is the Arya Stark trailer, where she's running around in what appears to be, you know, maybe inside the castle, but somewhere indoors, down low, and she's running from something.
Yeah, so that was some early speculation that, oh, maybe Arya's running from a white version of someone she knows, and that's a very good point. I mean, again, I don't think it's going to be anyone that she knows unless it's Rickon, just because based on the timeline of events and who died where and when.
Headless Ned.
But, yeah, so I'd be surprised if it was anyone else. But at the same time, if someone pops out of her relatives' tombs and comes after her, I would probably run too.
Exactly. So you're in on the theory. I'm going to stay out on it. So we'll split on. I'll stay out on it for sure. Going to create a little rivalry here. Other big theory. Night King, the old bait and switch.
Yes.
Down to King's Landing.
So this is a tactic that we've seen multiple times in Game of Thrones. We saw it with Robb Stark against the Lannisters.
Successfully.
Whispering Wood, where he sent, you know, his army, some of his army one way, and he went another way.
2,000 men to die.
Yeah. We had the Lannisters, Jaime did that, where they gave up Casterly Rock, basically, and then they went to Highgarden, took Highgarden. So the Night King could do something similar here, whereas his forces go all out at Winterfell.
Boom.
But he himself, on the back of Viserion, goes to King's Landing.
He's wheeling.
And
Night King wheeling.
Yeah, Night King is wheeling. He's flying in. Night King and Viserion.
Thing is,
just wipe out King's Landing, basically.
Logistically, it's like you come up to the surrounding towns, you blow everyone out, and next thing you know, you have, you know, a couple thousand people. Mm-hmm. Then you just make your way in, and then you raise them up again, and you got. So logistically, it's not improbable to be successful. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, he's one dude on a dragon. We know King's Landing's got some anti-aircraft artillery. You know, he gets sniped. We know, we saw Brandon with snipe one. He would be exposed as can be. So, but where's your take on this? What's your stance?
So, originally I was out on it because I said it doesn't make sense from a narrative standpoint.
I agree.
You know, like everything that the story they're telling.
The Battle of Winterfell.
Has been about the Battle of Winterfell. The Night King has this connection with Bran. He has this connection with Jon. Like, those are kind of his two nemesis. So that would be, so that's where the narrative tells me he's going. However, I kind of talked myself into it that it would make some sense for the Night King to go to King's Landing. So first off, strategically for him, like, yeah, it makes sense to go to King's Landing where there's millions of people. There's more people in King's Landing than in Winterfell by far. He would, you know, increase the size of his army. I'm sure there's millions of dead in King's Landing as well. They don't burn their bodies down there. So,
nope.
So we would have the dead in King's Landing. We would have the living that he killed and then brought back. So the Night King's army would be much stronger if he went to King's Landing first. And do they really have enough to stop a dragon? I mean, they have the scorpion, the anti-aircraft shooter, but...
Qyburn.
Yeah, but I still think the Night King would be able to do enough damage.
Prevail, yeah. Yeah.
And so strategically, it makes sense. Then from a narrative standpoint, it kind of makes sense if you think that... So the major conflict...
I like this.
The biggest conflict that we have in the show is the Night King, the dead versus the living. Versus, you know, not anyone specifically, not Jon, not Bran, anyone specifically, but it's the dead versus the living.
Yes.
So to have that conflict be resolved in the third episode, like to have that mid-season climax, it would be kind of a letdown to go from that to, okay, back to the Iron Throne of Jon and Daenerys versus Cersei. So... if the Night King goes to King's Landing, then we have the Battle of Winterfell, and then there's also like a further climax coming of, you know, now we gotta, if they win this, then now we gotta go do it again in King's Landing. And the last thing about the Night King, King's Landing, kind of relates back to Daenerys' vision from the House of the Undying.
Yes.
In Carth. So her vision, and Bran also had a similar vision, was of the Iron Throne covered in snow, and she went to sit down on it, but before she sat down on it, she heard her dragons calling, and she went to be with them. Or not her, was it her dragons? Or
it one dragon.
It was her, I think it might have been Khal Drogo and like their unborn child or something. It was a vision. That was kind of her thing back then, was yes. Khal Drogo and their child. So it would fit the vision, because if the Night King's there,
cold,
it's going to be snowing, the throne could be covered in snow. Yeah, so.
And Bran had similar.
Bran had a similar one. I forget exactly when it was, but it was when he was, you know, first starting out with his green powers. So that's it for the Night King going to King's Landing theory. All that being said, I'm out on it.
I'm out for that reason. I'm out as well.
So I just think that
Jon says the Night King's coming in the preview.
That's the biggest thing is that. Last week, Bran unveiled the Night King's motivation, which we didn't really have before at all. It's that, you know, he wants to have a permanent long night, permanent winter, and he wants to kill me as the Three-Eyed Raven because he's the memory of the world. So that's why I'm out. But if it weren't for that, I think I might be all in on it. But that
really?
But that makes me be all out because I...
What about Jon saying the Night King's coming?
If the Night King's on a dragon and goes, he could be doing a flyby, you know,
a little over the stadium,
or the Night King can hop off, raise up the dead from the crypts, and then get out of there,
and just dug down,
just wheel down to King's Landing.
For sure, I think the Night King. So this is the thing, and this is I think the best point you make is the narrative storyline standpoint of, are they going to beat the Night King in episode 3?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's done.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, who was the biggest villain in the series? I guess, like, throughout the entire series, it's been Cersei, but the biggest villain in terms of the biggest conflict is the living versus the dead. So
they're going to resolve that in episode 3, and then we're just going to have a casual man-on-man battle?
I also think it would kind of be some sort of, like, poetic justice. Not that the Night King's going to kill Cersei. I feel like she would survive somehow, but if... You know, Cersei said when she found out the dead broke through the wall, she said, good.
Good.
Like, she's not prepared for the Night King to come down on a dragon at the moment. So I think it would be some sort of poetic justice for her to say good and be excited about this and then have it show up at her doorstep just like, oh, this is not good.
Not okay. Dragon's here. That being said, yeah, I'm out on it as well. I think, but I can be talked into... I'm out on it, but I could be talked into the fact that the Night King doesn't die this episode. Can you be talked into that?
Can I be talked into the Night King surviving this episode? Yes, I could. Just because, again, he is the larger conflict,
yeah.
The larger villain, and it would make sense for that to be something more of a finale than a mid-season finale. And also, I don't know, just... Yeah, I just think that's the bigger thing. So it would make sense for him, if they're losing, to get out of there. Because if he goes down, they all go down. That's what we've learned.
You think they could be losing, he gets out of there. And it also could be the reverse where...
He's winning and they get out of there.
They get out of there. Dragons out or whatever it may be. Just because, you know, with the exception of the dragon, it's not like the, you know, the undead army's not exactly, you know, fleet-footed.
Mm-hmm.
So they could potentially get out of there, horses or something like that. But what would you say? You say 82 minutes from now, Night King dead or alive?
That's a tough one. If I had to guess, I would say dead. I would say it's more likely that he dies this episode than they prolong it for another.
Got it. And I think also this, like, epic battle, it's got to amount to something. If the epic battle just amounts to sweet spot characters, which we'll get to, that are going to die, I don't know how epic it is. Without someone big going down, I don't know if it fills the shoes of that they've been hyping this up to be. What was it, like 12 weeks of taping, things like that, just for, you know, Grey Worm and Ser Jorah dying? I don't know if that's what we're getting. So I would say it's more likely that the Night King or a major character, i.e. Jon Snow or Daenerys, are dead after this episode.
Here's the other thing I want to throw at you is everyone... All the major outlets and major, you know, people that cover Game of Thrones have been saying episode 3, biggest battle in history, blah, 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 because of Miguel Sapochnik directing
it. Yes.
That's been kind of the big clue. Miguel Sapochnik is also directing episode 5.
And did this just get disseminated this week?
No. This has been out there. But who's
I just saw it for the first time this week.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
But, so who's to say that the biggest battle in history isn't in episode 5.
Exactly.
You know, like this could be a curveball they're throwing at us.
This could be the longest one for sure, but we could lose a lot. We could lose quantity.
I'm saying, yeah, this could be a very big battle, but then episode 5 is actually the one they've been talking about when they say, oh, we spent 55 days shooting this one. And
yes.
Like that. Who's to say that that's not what they're doing?
I don't know. It could be. Now let's stick to this episode is the battle. I mean, we're seeing Jon in the Godswood, you know, looking almost terrified. You know, we know Bran's there, we know Theon's there, we know Theon's lighting a flamed bow.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting something there. What do you think we could be getting there?
So with Theon, he is the one who I would say I would bet the most on that he's going to die this episode.
Of all the characters. I'll put Grey Worm in front of him.
I think Grey Worm's right up there, but Theon I would put ahead.
Got it.
So Theon, his character arc is basically It's done. It's done. He saved Yara. Yes. He's kind of come to grips with who he is as a man. Like, you Stark. Know, yeah, he's a Stark. He's a Greyjoy.
Yes.
He's fulfilled his duty as a Greyjoy. Now he has to fulfill his duty as a Stark. And kind of, this is his final redemption. You know, he took Winterfell from Bran. He
pretended to kill
him. Yeah, pretended to kill him. Now he's coming back to save it, to give it back to Bran and the Starks, to for them to keep it.
Got it. He's done.
So, yeah, I think he's very likely to die while defending Bran, sacrificing himself, you know, dying heroically.
Would make sense.
So I think Theon for sure dead. Yeah, this is going to be a major Death Watch episode. Like, I'm going to have this planned out well in advance. Sometimes, like, I'll do it literally as the credits are rolling. I'll be like, oh, forgot to do Death Watch this week. Like,
yeah.
Tweet it out. So, like, this is one that I'm going to have to draft up. I'll probably draft it up right now and send it out before the episode. But.
Got it. So, Theon, he said, it's top of the list. Let's go a little Death Watch preview. I'll pop some characters at you. You talk about their fate. Grey Worm.
100%. Grey Worm's done this episode. I'll say 99. I think there's a 1% chance that, maybe more than 1%, but there is a slight chance that there's a bait and switch here and that Missandei is the one that dies and Grey Worm actually survives.
From the crypts, maybe.
I think that would be like, that would hurt bad. That would be like, no.
That would be Game of Thrones.
That would be very Game of Thrones. Because right now, like, I think everyone has already accepted the way that we just were. Everyone's accepted the Grey Worm is dead.
Vegas odds, like, minus 400.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's accepted Grey Worm is dead. But that would be Game of Thrones, you know, twisting the knife in the heart.
Oh, like, it would be.
Let's have Missandei die instead and have Grey Worm lives.
It's even worse that he lives.
Grey Worm lives. Grey Worm living and her dying would be worse for him than him dying.
It would be. Which is incredible.
So I'm glad we have that on record right now.
I'm glad that.
But I still think Grey Worm's dying.
Got it. Grey Worm. Ser Jorah Mormont.
Jorah, I'm going to say, survives.
Wow. You were last week, we're all about, you know, he got signed to his death.
Yeah.
When Sam said, you know, hopefully I'll see you again.
He did. Yeah, you're right. Him and Sam had that moment. Hopefully I'll see you again. And I can't see, or it'll be tough to see Daenerys lose more than, to lose a lot of her closest advisors. So
yeah, I agree.
If she loses Missandei, I don't think she can lose Grey Worm. I don't think she can lose Jorah.
Yeah.
Grey Worm, she could probably still lose Jorah, but I think Jorah will survive.
Yeah, I don't, and we talk. Go ahead.
And he also has Sam's sword. I feel like,
is that let him down on the battlefield? He can't die with that.
I feel like having a Valyrian steel sword is, it helps. I don't know.
It does help.
I mean, Jaime and Brienne both have him too, but I don't know. I think he survives.
I think he survives too because, you know, we talk character arc, and like, he's still supposed to be advising, way out. You know,
was him. You know, telling Daenerys to trust Tyrion, to forgive Tyrion, or to extend the olive branch to Daenerys, was that part of his character arc? Like, I don't think so.
No.
It was, but it wasn't nearly, like, the completing point.
But. No. I think he lives. I'm going to go with lives as well. We just talked about him.
Ser Brienne of Tarth.
Ser Dead Brienne of Tarth.
All right, so last week, one of the last thoughts we had on the episode was, do you think Brienne or Jaime will die next week? Like,
yes.
And I said, I think one of them will. And if I had to bet right now, I would say Jaime.
This was last week. Yeah.
I flip-flopped on this.
Oh, right? My God.
One of them is dying, and I think it's going to be Brienne.
Now, wow.
Last week, had a conversation with one of our good fans, Alyssa. And she said, look, Brienne's character arc is complete and Jaime's isn't. And Jaime's whole thing, you know, his recurring line is the things we do for love. What if, you know, and we know Brienne loves Jaime. She could not sacrifice herself, but, you know, defend Jaime. Yes. and die in battle because Jaime's not that good of a fighter anymore. So, like, she could be, she could, out of love, make herself vulnerable and die. And that's something we've seen. Sansa said it last week about Jon being in love with Daenerys. Said that when men are in love, they do stupid things. They're manipulated.
It's, we know Jaime's not in love with her.
Yeah.
But.
Well, he is, but it's a different kind of thing.
And it's different than she is, too.
So, like, her love for Jaime could make her vulnerable.
Got it. So you say one dies, which is that's clean. And then if it's got to be one, I mean, it's going to be one. If you have to pick, it's going to be Brienne.
Yes.
I agree. I don't think Jaime Lannister can die yet.
I don't think he can die yet. And even Brienne, like, last episode was titled after her.
I know.
Like, she has nothing left.
She didn't even deserve last you know, with four episodes left, and she's gonna title after.
She's gotten everything that she
can ask,
and she's given everything that she can give. She's got nothing left.
She's saved the Stark girls. She's protected the Stark girls.
Mm-hmm.
She's dead. Brianna Tarth is dead. All right, let's continue. Podrick. Are those steely pipes going down?
Podrick, I think, dies. I mean, Podrick, I think, survives. It would hurt if he died. It would hurt a lot. But something just tells me that he's going to survive. Brian trained him. We saw last episode. Like, he's kind of a stud out there fighting now. I think Pod survives.
I'll take Pod surviving as well. I think Pod and Jamie survive. Brienne dies. It's sort of Game of Thronesian, and character arcs complete. That being said, you're talking about Brienne saving Jamie. I think Pod might save Brienne.
Sure, sure.
On the battlefield, we could see that. I think I would say there's no doubt. You say one of the two for Brienne and Jamie die. I said there's no doubt one of the three, if you include Pod, are dead. You say it's one of the two. I'll take one of the three. That's okay. A less riskier bet, for sure. But how about this one? Arya Stark.
Arya
running away from something, face bloodied. We've seen it in the trailer. We've seen it in the preview now.
So Arya,
it could be her last night on Earth, and she got what she was looking for.
I was gonna say that's kind of like in an 80s horror movie type thing where like you lose your virginity, now you can die.
Exactly. Is this are we going 80s horror movie?
No, I'm gonna say Arya Stark survives.
I think so.
Now,
too.
I said at the beginning of the season, our season preview, that I think she's going to die eventually, and I still hold myself to that. I still think she's not going to survive the whole season, but I think she's going to survive this episode, and the biggest thing that I'm holding on to for that is Melisandre.
Yes. Now, I will see you again.
Yeah, she said, we will meet again, there's darkness in your eyes, all that, blah, blah, blah. Melisandre has to return at some point. Could it be this week? Maybe? I don't know. There's
doubtful.
There's, some book stuff that there's, an army of slaves that serve the Red God, the Lord of Light, and maybe she'll show up with them. They haven't really given us any reason to support that on the show, other than Tyrion has seen the fanatics of the Lord of Light when he was over in Essos. But
yes.
There was never any sign of an army. So I'm out on that. I don't think she's going to show up this episode.
No.
But I think her and Arya have to meet before it's over, and Arya might even kill her, especially now that she knows about Gendry.
Exactly, exactly. She might know. I mean, she might do it. Arya Stark living, yes, I agree. Does she get a major kill? I'll ask you that in a minute. Jon Snow.
Survives, 100%. Lock it up. Survives.
Dany.
Survives. Now, with Jon and Daenerys in the season preview...
This is could be spoiler? I don't know.
No. It's something they showed us, all right?
I know, but
so in the season preview...
Close your ears if you want to.
It's not a spoiler. We don't spoil. It's not a leak. So in the season preview, there's a shot of Daenerys and Jon, and there's in the background is a fireplace, and earlier in the series, last season, there's a shot of that same fireplace when they're in Dragonstone. So that leads us to believe that Jon and Daenerys, at some point this season, will be in Dragonstone, and I don't think it's going to be... because they're hiding from the Night King before they die, think it's, further along in the plot. So I think they survive 100%.
Maybe it's just the same home builder that made something.
Maybe that's what they want us to think.
Yeah, right. But no, that's true. Neither of them die. You said Night King probably. You would say Night King is more likely to die than to not. So by the hands of whom, Curry?
Who kills the Night King? So my top two picks for this are Jon and Bran. They're the two that have the connection with the Night King. They've both had moments with him. Bran, obviously, through his green seeing, his visions. When the Night King touched him and marked him, he's the Three-Eyed Raven. So that's Bran. I don't know how exactly he would kill the Night King. It would have to be either warging into something else or warging into the Night King or just having some sort of, magical battle. It's
Voldemort and Harry Potter.
With Jon... We've seen him. Jon and the Night King have had their own kind of stare downs, showdowns.
Oh yeah, Hard Home.
Hard Home. There was Beyond the Wall. They've matched up. They squared up. So it could definitely happen again. So I think it has to be one of those two. But if it were to be someone else, I think
give me the wild card.
Wild card, I would say, is Theon.
Really?
Well, we know he's going to be there with Bran, and apparently that's where the Night King's going to be. So I could see Theon.
He's in the room, yeah.
I could see Theon going down in a blaze of glory. He takes out the Night King, but then he gets absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah,
somehow,
and one of those, he kills him at the same time.
Yeah,
know.
Something like that. Or like, that would, you know, be bullshit, like, where Theon, like, he presses the self-destruct button, so he dies too, but he takes out, you know, something like that. And if not Theon, maybe Arya, because she's got her assassin skills. Again, I think that's kind of a cheat code. I don't think that should be
part of her story.
She does have the new weapon. But I would say Jon or Bran would be my two picks.
I'll throw Sam Tarly in there as well. We see him. We know he's supposed to be in the crypts. We see him outside the crypts.
Yeah.
And it would fit my long game theory plot line or thought that George R.R. sees himself through our boy Sam Tarly, and what more valiant way could Sam Tarly make a play then to kill the Night King?
I guess. I don't think Sam is supposed to be that big of a hero. I think he's already had his hero moments and maybe, you know, a smaller victory, but I don't think he's going to have this enormous, enormous breakthrough.
Do we see Bronn this episode?
Bronn, I would say...
82 minutes.
I would say no.
I would agree.
Now, we know... It is 82 minutes, but we know in...
82 minutes. We can only see so much battle.
We know in some previous battle episodes, they'll start the episode away from the battle for like a good 10 minutes, and then the whole rest of the episode is the battle.
Yes.
We also saw last week was only Winterfell. Last week had no Cersei, no one else. So I feel like they can't do that two episodes in a row.
Yes.
But I don't think we're going to see Bronn.
This is a wild card. Children of the Forest.
Children of the Forest, that is a wild card. So Children of the Forest, last we saw them was when Bran messed up, when the Night King touched him.
Total
Three-Eyed Raven was kind of training him, and he messed up. Hold the Door, Hodor went down, Summer went down, all that. So that was the last we saw of the Children of the Forest, who also they created the Night King. And they were thought to be a myth. They were thought to be extinct.
They're not.
They're not, or at least they weren't. But like, yeah. are they now? Were those the last ones?
Easy no here. I feel like.
Yeah, I think it's an easy no. But also, like, it would make some sense a little bit for them to be involved in the downfall of the Night King.
This was kind of my larger question behind that is, do we? This is a macro take. Do we get someone outside of what's going on, what's lined up in this battle, coming in to help win the battle?
I mean, that's a common plot device that they've used in Game of Thrones is, you know, the Deus Ex Machina, having the savior come out of nowhere to save the day, whether it was Knights of the Vale, Daenerys on the dragon, Tywin in Blackwater. It's something we've seen. It's been used
a little bit of a cop out.
You could say it's overused, yeah. So I don't think we're going to see it this episode.
I don't think so either. But I would not be shocked. I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't be shocked if there was some.
Yeah, you have to think that it could happen, but I don't think
where's it come
I don't
from?
Think it will. But don't be shocked if it does.
Yeah, if they're losing, and then someone out of nowhere, holy shoot,
yeah,
something happens. One more dead or alive. This is a tough one. Ghost.
So we saw Ghost last episode for the first time in maybe like seasons. And
Red Eye's cooking.
I think Ghost survives. I don't know why. Oh, I think I said in the preview, Valar Morghulis Madness, that I just can't bring myself to say Ghost is going to die. But I think that was what I said. So I'm going to say Ghost lives. Well, we might not even see him because they're going to have so much other CGI, but I think Ghost survives.
Ghost survives, I think so. I think it would be too tough, but
that's Game of Thrones, though. Like
Ghost went down in the Battle of Winterfell, I don't know.
It's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, right? Not a bad way to go out with three epis left after it. All right, I'm trying to think of any other preview part of this.
As far as theories go,
it's tough.
There was one more, and I think we might have talked about it last week a little bit, just that what are the odds that Cersei, like, sends people to help or / betray Jon Daenerys? So the thought process behind that,
yeah, this is true.
I think we talked about it last episode, is that Cersei's best opportunity to come out on top of all this will be to get whoever wins the Battle of Winterfell right after the battle while they're weakest.
Boom.
Whether it's the Night King and the Undead, you want to hop on them before they double the size of their army, or whether it's Jon Daenerys, you want to get them while they're weakest, while they just, you know, we're slugging it out with the Night King for 12 rounds. So if Cersei, what she could do, and this is a page out of Tywin Lannister's book from The Sacking of King's Landing, Robert's Rebellion, would be to send her army up to Winterfell, say you're going to help, and then as soon as they open the doors, you sack the city, you betray them, and, you know, hit them while they're weakest, when they're not expecting it. So that would be... I can't see them falling for it, especially if Sansa's in charge.
Yes.
Sansa, for the past two episodes, said to everyone that will listen that, she said it to Tyrion, you're stupid for trusting Cersei. I thought you were the cleverest person in the world. She said it to Daenerys, you should have never trusted Cersei either. So if Sansa has any say in it, Cersei will not be betraying anyone up in the north. And also, Cersei herself kind of said, look, I'm content to just stay here in King's Landing, and then whoever comes,
we'll face them when we face them.
So I don't think that theory is going to come to light, but it's out there.
This is one thing I want to say. So if you listen to the quick analysis pod we did midweek, you'll hear me talk about this a little bit. But you know, say, and this is a little predictable, but say this happens. You know, Night King comes in to the Godswood. He wants Bran, tries to kill him, dies. I mean, it is just this guy's been the biggest villain in the show. We talked about that. Supposed to be super smart. So this is supposed to be the most anticipated battle. And this guy's just going to come in. It would just be like almost inexcusable for him to like make this tactical decision for him, the guy who controls everything, to expose himself. I mean, even Jaime Lannister says, if it's the case that he's kind of the key, then there's no way he's going to expose himself, which is like makes sense. But I'm just, I don't know if I'd be disappointed, but it's almost just like a cop out, like the losing the war. You know, we see Grey Worm, Jorah, Brienne die, and then, you know, it's everything's going south, and then we get a face to face with the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't make any tactical sense for the Night King to make himself available to be killed, right?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't make any sense at all.
Like, does he need Bran? Does he need to be the one that kills Bran? No, I don't think so. Is Bran, you know, so it's just like almost a little bit of a head scratcher, like if this is the way it goes down. Why would he do it, Curry?
Narrative.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Like, we're living on
narrative. It's a story, it's a show.
Exactly. I don't like that. I don't want to put a damper on the parade here.
Yep.
Because I think that's probably what's going to happen. But it's just going to be like the Night King. He makes a tactical error if he dies in the Godswood. You know, maybe if they're losing, the North is doing great, and the Night King says, you know, shoot, I got to go out to Bran because, you know, that's the one big kill we can get here. That would make a lot of sense. But for the North to be getting dominated and then the Night King, it almost to be like we see everyone fall. I mean, because that's certainly, I would say even a high probability that we get a visual of the Night King being killed and everyone falling. And if that happens, it's almost tactically it's poor form by the Night King.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out. Anything else preview wise?
I'm ready for this week, man. I don't know.
It's we don't normally get like this much anticipation for an episode because we don't normally have like the pre-details that we've had on this episode, you know? We know that episode 9 in season pass is always like a good one, so things like that.
That's another thing, just going back to that earlier thing you said. The 5th episode is this season's 9th episode. Miguel Sapochnik's directing it, so just be on the lookout. That one's going to be a good one.
It's going to be, yeah, we'll be watching, we'll be tuned in for sure. But yeah, we've gotten just so much anticipation for this 82-minute episode 3. I don't think it will disappoint, especially with, you know, the table's been...
Tables set to perfection.
Too much. Yeah. Almost too much.
There's no more table setting that can be done.
No, not at all. I think we do get a little bit of not Winterfell this week as well, just to fill some screen time and advance some plot. But yeah, you go with our preview?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's do it. You know, Sunday night, we'll be back here reacting live. Follow on Twitter right after GOT. Follow or subscribe, rate, and review on the podcast on Apple Music. We went into the top 20 last week. We appreciate every single person who listens, retweets, likes, votes in the polls. We absolutely love it. There's four Eppies left. We can't wait for them, and we can't wait to share them, our thoughts with you guys. So for Tim Curry, this is Matt Datz. Sunday night, join us again right after Thrones.